across every state of India, across 125 countries, across political, religious, racial, geographic and linguistic divide, across social and cultural barriers. What compels millions to step forward and reach out to complete strangers in need? Since 1940, when the 14-year-old Satya declared his divine mission, a silent revolution has emerged from a heart that preaches only one language, that of unconditional love. Through his massive service projects, Bhagwan Baba has redefined spirituality as social activism, responsible charity and conscientious citizenship. Be it a service project in remote Andhra Pradesh or at a slum in Zimbabwe, volunteers from all backgrounds are transforming our world by serving in the name of Sai.
Dear listeners, Sai Ram and welcome to a new episode of our radio series, Serving in the Name of Sai. In this series, we bring you accounts of Swami's love and our love for Swami translating into service to humanity. Today's episode is part 4 of a 5-part conversation with Mr. Hari Shankar, an alumnus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, who is currently working for the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust at Prashanthi Nilayam. In conversation with him is Radio Sai's Raghu, and this was first featured as part of Thursday Live during February 2015.
Dear listeners, greetings and loving Sai Ram from Prashanthi Nilayam, the spiritual capital of the universe. And joining me today to co-host this show is Brother Hari Shankar. Sai Ram, brother.
Sai Ram, Raghu.
Well, at the very outset, let's place our most humble pranams at the lotus feet of Bhagwan Baba. Dear listeners, if you are following this segment, from past couple of weeks, myself and Brother Hari Shankar are discussing on the topic service to society. First, we discussed on seva as an efficacious means to Swami. Then we discussed on seva as a means of our inner development. And today, we are going to talk on what Swami has told on how we should serve, right?
Yes, brother. So we are looking at what from various discourses and seva conferences that Swami has held, from which we derive that sense of what he wants, what kind of attitude he wants when we are undertaking seva.
Yeah.
But, you know, just a few days ago, my boss, who is the finance controller at Sri Satya Sai Central Trust. So he was narrating how Swami, he started the first batch of Seva Dals in New Delhi when he started, how he first himself handed out all the Seva Dals cars to each one of, now they are all in very big positions. At that time they were mere youth and Swami had recruited them in that sense. And the first few years, this is from 72 onwards, Swami would spend a lot of time actually sitting with the Seva Dals and teaching them as to what he expected, on what lines, what kind of behavior expected from Seva Dal, what kind of mental attitude he expected from Seva Dal, and also coach them on the very small nitty-gritties of how they should serve, say food, you know, down to the last detail. And they said they felt so privileged at being able to receive this directly from the Lord himself and be, while being part of his group of sevaks.
In fact, when you are telling this, I remember one thing that Swami has told to Sevadals, and this also was a discourse given during Sevadal conference in 1990s. Swami has said that Sevadals should work like a petals of a flower.
Okay.
Different petals of a flower.
Right.
Just like how different petals of flower come together and a beautiful flower is formed, Sevadals should work together like petals of flower and make a beautiful flower and offer it at Swami's lotus feet.
Yes, that is one of the themes, that of unification, that all of us in the Sai organization, especially or any act of service where we do it as a group, one of the first things Swami emphasized is unity, that whatever differences we have that crop up among the people that we work with, they should be completed and subdued as soon as possible so that we can work together for that one unique purpose.
Now the basic and fundamental thing when we serve others is that we should feel the pain and suffering of others, right? Only when that comes out, then the true seva comes out, right?
Yes, Swami would say, no, he would give various examples to show how is it that we, that sense of seva, how it gets started within us, and we begin to feel the pain of others. And remember, Raghu, in the very first segment, we spoke about how Swami had instituted Grama Seva as in the curriculum for the institute and school students. And we said, we mentioned that one of the first things he wanted to do was for us students to get sensitized to the living conditions of the poor in this country. And unless we get an appreciation for how they live and for what kind of challenges that they face, it, we would never, you know, bend down, even bend down to start working towards their welfare.
On this regard, Swami has told one nice, beautiful chinnakatha, which I would like to narrate now.
Yeah.
Once one saint was taking bath in a river. And while taking bath, he sees a scorpion which is getting drowned in the waters. So the sage lifts the scorpion. He wants to save the scorpion from getting drowned. Tries to bring the scorpion to the shore. But the scorpion stings his hand.
Okay.
And the sage leaves the scorpion. And the scorpion again will be drowning in the water. But the sage again takes the scorpion in his hand. And he will be getting the scorpion to the shore. And the scorpion again stings the sage. This will go on, like the sage will pick the scorpion, scorpion will sting him, and the sage will leave the scorpion back. But somehow the sage will get the scorpion to the shore, and some people were watching this happening. And they asked the sage, what you did? The scorpion was stinging you and still you were lifting the scorpion from getting drowned. Then the sage said something very nice and profound. The sage said, see, I did it to relieve my pain. When I saw the scorpion drowning in the water, I felt the pain in me.
Right.
So I was not comfortable. So in order to make myself comfortable and relieve the pain which I was getting, seeing the scorpion getting drowned, I tried to save the scorpion.
Right.
But the Swami continues to say that the scorpion, what the scorpion was doing was its true nature, that is to sting.
Absolutely.
And even the sage did the true, his true nature, that is, he felt the suffering of the scorpion. And so Swami says that actually the true nature of human beings is to help others.
Yeah, to feel the pain of others. And Swami would give that example, Raghu, of, in his discourses, he would say that when we say heart, every man has a heart, but we do not understand what it means to have heart. And Swami would say that actually the Sanskrit term for heart is Hridaya, which is Hrit plus Daya. So he says that basically man's innate nature is to be filled with compassion. So when we always, Swami would say that we should make that journey from the mind to the heart. So the heart is a seat of compassion, whereas with mind, when we think, we are always thinking for our own self, like just like that scorpion.
Yeah.
What it the scorpion feels threatened, and so at that moment it tries to sting even the person who is helping it.
Correct.
So that is its instinctual nature, and that is what it is at the level of the mind. Whereas the sage, he has traveled from the mind to the heart, and at the heart is a seat of compassion, and he's acting from the heart.
Correct.
So
nice.
That's a beautiful interplay that happens, no, between in this episode that Swami has brought out. The interplay between the mind and the heart, and where we should be is where the sage is, even if you're getting stung. So, you know, one of the discourses that Swami gave to Sevadal, he emphasized this one thing. He says one of the things that when you know, this feeling of oneness, he says the basis is something that comes from the Upanishads. We say in the Ishavasya Upanishad, the very first line of the stanza of the Ishavasya Upanishad starts with Ishavasyam Idagum Sarvam or Idam Sarvam. That is, the Lord is immanent in everything. Is in everything, be it living or non-living, it is the Lord that we see. And therefore, this feeling of oneness is important. And not just for the sake of compassion, it is also from the point of view of a spiritual reality, that wherever, whomever you undertake seva, whomever you serve, that service is reaching no one but God himself.
Yeah.
Right? So that's why in our hospital we have, in the super speciality hospital, right at the entrance is put, you know, service to man is service to God.
Correct.
No? So manava seva ye Madhava Seva. Mm. So, or as we used to say, Grama Seva is Rama Seva. So at every point we are reminding ourselves that when we are serving this Nara in the form of this human being.
Nara Seva is Narayana Seva.
Yeah, ultimately we are serving that Narayana, Lord Narayana himself. So that Ishavasyam Idam Jagat is Idam Sarvam is for us that line, you know, for all seva, though undertake Seva, that is the first thing that should strike us, that we should always remember when we are doing Seva, for what sake. It's, otherwise it just becomes a mechanical act.
Yeah.
Or we could just be, you know, maybe students of Master of Social Welfare, or we could be employees in an NGO, which doesn't make any different. So the first thing is that we are doing the Seva, as, in fact as a means of a sadhana. Right, so that compassion we ignite in ourselves, it triggers off because we are on that journey to being beings of love, for being beings of compassion. That is where we are headed, that is our goal. And also Swami says, you know, that therefore it is not to be performed as a mechanical activity. And because of this, it is also important that the seva we do should be nishkama seva.
Yes. Selfless service.
It is selfless service, and in the sense that we are not looking for any benefit in return.
Correct.
Right? And if you look at, there are no strings attached. That is to say, you know, Raghu, if I do this for you, not in terms of money, but I really don't want any benefit from you. Like, I'm not even looking for your thank you. You know, not even that, not even for your gratitude. If you want to show gratitude, Swami would say gratitude is important for the person who expresses the gratitude. He says that is very important. But as a sevak, you need not really look for even for that person's gratitude, or for any form of benefit that may come to you later. Mm. So the reason he says this is again that it should not be a mechanical activity, but as a sadhana. We should remember that the reason Swami says we should undertake this seva is because it is a sadhana. So that is why this feeling of oneness is important, that we see God in every person that we serve, and therefore when you do it in that sense, that you take your time to remember that whom you are serving is God himself.
Yeah, correct.
Through that.
In fact, you are talking about the feeling of oneness aspect, right? Mm. Swami has told the proper study of mankind is man.
Yeah.
And in that Swami gives one nice analogy, like if you are going in a forest and if a thorn pricks our foot, what do?
We remove it.
Yeah. Our hand immediately goes to the rescue of the foot to remove the thorn, right?
Mm.
In fact, if the pain is more, even our eyes start reacting with tears.
Right.
So Swami says, just a thorn pricked the foot,
but
hand reacted, eyes reacted, everything reacted. Mm. Because everything is part of one whole body.
Yes.
In the same way, Swami says, the feeling of oneness should be there always. The whole world is one body, and if anything happens in one part of the world, the other parts of the world should immediately react.
Exactly.
So this comes under the feeling of oneness aspect, right?
Yes, yes.
And you're also talking about the selfless seva, nishkama seva. So Swami has named the Sai organization as Sri Satya Sai Seva organization.
Hmm.
There is the word seva attached in the name itself.
Yes.
So seva is one of the main fundamental aspect of Sai organization.
Definitely is. Yeah.
And this about selfless seva, I'm always reminded of Mother Teresa.
Hmm.
You know, she was an embodiment of this, right? And from her life, there is one incident which always touches me whenever I remember it.
Mm-hmm.
It seems she was once in Kolkata in India, and she saw a man who was literally on the drains. There was no one to take care of him, and he was very sick, very ill. He was not able to get up also, and maggots were eating his flesh. He was in a bad condition.
Right.
And Mother Teresa just, she brought the man to her ashram, and she started cleaning his wounds.
Right.
Started cleaning him. And the biographer of Mother Teresa, Malcolm Magridge, I think, he asked Mother, what are you doing? I won't do this even if someone gives me $1 million. Then it seems Mother Teresa said, you know what? Even I won't do if someone gives me $1 million. In fact, I won't do if even someone gives me $2 million. But I am doing this because I love Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
I'm doing this for Jesus Christ.
Yes. Yeah, so many of her actions that way, they were all oriented towards pleasing Jesus. Like whatever she did, she always felt that this action is for the sake of pleasing Jesus, right? And you know, when I was very young, once I remember a school had taken us to Nirmala Shishu Bhavan, which is also run by the nuns who are inspired by Mother Teresa. And these people, they take the children who are found on living on the streets, and some of them, they are left on the streets by their own parents because they are suffering from some kind of deformities, etc. And for that reason, they abandon the children.
Okay.
And these nuns would go around, they would look for these kind of children and take them into their home and feed them, clothe them, bathe them, to give them that sense of individuality. I remember one statement when you mentioned Mother Teresa. She said that there is one disease which is the most acute among humans, and that is the disease called loneliness.
Oh.
And the only cure for that loneliness is love. You could be around people, Raghu, and still you could feel lonely. And that is a very unique
lonely feeling. And neglected.
Lonely, neglected, abandoned. And she says that this is the only very, very simple cure there is, that of administering love. This something very powerful I remembered I read from an interview of Mother Teresa. Based on this this Nishkama Seva, I remembered that the only benefit, the only desire that we, Swami has allowed us when we do Seva, it's not entirely desireless. The only desire He has left us is that when you do it, you desire that it makes me happy. That is to say, Swami happy. So that is the goal that we keep in front of our mind. Every little act of Seva that we do. I remember Dr. Narasimhan, who is the program director for our Satya Sai Mobile Hospital. He once recounted when he was in the Satya Sai Seva organization back in Hyderabad, in an area called Begumpet, the kind of Narayan Seva that they used to do. It is very unique. See, Narayan Seva is done by practically every Satya Sai center anywhere in the world. But in this particular center, they used to do in a very unique way. He thought to himself, see, when we are saying Narayana Seva, Swami's injunction is that we should see each such person who comes to this as Narayana.
Yes.
But he started inquiring, do I look upon these people as Narayana? If they were, how would I treat them? And that caused him to totally transform the way they were doing.
If they are Swami himself, how he would treat them?
Yes, how would he treat them if that was Swami who was coming to that particular function? So what he would do, in the first place, each person who came to the Narayan Seva, he came because he received a very beautiful invite, and not in the form, it was of course a small little card that said, this is the venue, come and so, it was like an invitation, but it would be personally delivered. Dr. Narasimhan and his team, maybe around 4 or 5, the previous Thursday, they would go to these places around the Sai Center, look for people in the railway stations, you know, derelict children, seek those places and personally hand over an invitation saying that please come to this Narayan Seva. Now, when they came there to the venue, so many of them were these rag pickers, right? So they would come with their satchels holding whatever garbage they picked up during that day. So, you know, they work on a day-to-day basis. They don't have holidays even. So they when they would land up there, what he would do is he would personally take their satchels and set it aside, and then take them to a room where he would personally clean their hands and their legs.
Wow.
He would actually wash their legs and thus make sure, you know, not only that the hands are clean, but that when he is serving them, he is actually serving them with an attitude that he is serving God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the Seva, the Narayan Seva would be conducted like a feast almost. That they were not just, you know, given something to eat. He would make sure that there was a sweet item. And in fact, Swami had guided them. These items you should serve. You know, to that extent that Atithi Satkaram, as they say, treating your guest as God, he would really treat it in that fashion. And in the end, just like if it were a marriage function in India, you give what is called a tambulam, right? That tobacco. It's like a mark of gratitude saying, I thank you for attending this function at my invitation. That would be given to those people.
Wow.
This is a very unique thing, but it was born out of his introspection that when I am conducting Narayan Seva, am I being true to that word called Narayana? Am I treating all these people truly like God?
In fact, Swami also wants everyone to do service in this manner itself. That Narayan Seva means you should treat the people as Narayana himself.
Yes.
Whoever comes to take the food offering. At this juncture, I am reminded of one beautiful incident. This was narrated by Mrs. Geeta Mohan Ram, a long-standing devotee of Bhagwan. So she was in an interview room. A group interview was going on. And Swami was just talking to the people there. And at one moment, a lady from the group, she told Swami, "Swami, in our place, we are doing a lot of Narayan Seva. Please come to our place." And Swami just ignored her. And he started talking to others. And whenever she used to get a chance, whenever Swami for a few seconds stopped talking to others, she used to just tell Swami, "Swami, we are doing a lot of nice seva in our place. Please come to our place."
Right.
And after one point of time, Swami just slightly got irritated or whatever. And Swami asked her, "What seva you are doing?" Then she told Swami, "A lot of nice seva we are doing. Please come to our place." Then Swami told, "No, you are not doing proper seva. You are having 5 rupees rice at your home. For your family, you are cooking 5 rupees rice. But for Narayan Seva, you are keeping aside only 2 rupees rice."
Wonderful.
It seems at that time, Swami had instructed that whenever you are cooking food at your home, keep a handful of rice separately. You cook as if you are cooking for one member extra in your home.
Right.
And that one member, you keep it aside, and after a period of 1 month or so, collect the rice from different home and cook it for Narayan Seva. That was Swami's instruction. So Swami told this lady, "See, for family member you are cooking 5 rupees rice, but that extra aside you are
setting aside a cheaper
quality. Cheaper 2 rupees rice." Then it seems Swami went inside and brought one red cover, red cloth. Something was tied inside that. Swami opened it and Swami showed it. It was, Swami told, "See, few months back one beggar had come to your house and you had given him this rice." In fact, that beggar was Swami himself.
My God.
So Swami told, you know, you should not differentiate between the people.
That lesson, I think, straight went home. You know, no way she could ignore it after that. Yeah. Now, you know, Swami would sometimes point out to this Shikshavali. So it is part of the Taittiriya Upanishad. And Swami would point out those particular stanzas which actually instruct us on how we should give. So we are on the, while we are on the topic of Narayan Seva, where we are giving. So the injunctions from the Shikshavali, Shraddhaya Deyam, like give with faith. Ashraddhaya Deyam, if you do not have faith, you don't give. Give not without faith.
Okay.
And Shriya Deyam, give in plenty. Don't hold back, you know, be that little bit stingy. Kriya Deyam, give with modesty.
Okay.
Which is beautiful. I mean, when you give, you don't give from a place called "I am superior" to that particular person. Bhiya Deyam, give with a little bit of fear. I'll explain what it, my understanding of that. Samvida Deyam, give with compassion.
Okay.
Right? And to really understand what Bhiya Deyam, give with fear. What do you mean by fear? But actually, this is something that I learned in the Japanese tradition of giving gifts. It seems that when they give the gift, they actually, it's like a, they go through a small, almost like a drama. So the person who's giving it, he says that, "I am afraid that this gift is not worthy of you." And that other person, he replies that, "No, actually, this is the greatest gift that you can give me." And it's like a scripted thing that happens, but there is a underlying message that whenever you're giving the gift, you should always give with that feeling, will that person accept it? And you don't give with that arrogance that, yes, this is exactly what you need and here you take it. It's like, will you please accept my gift? So that Bhiya Deyam, it teaches us that same value, that we should be exactly at the same pedestal where that person is standing when we hand over our gift. We should not feel arrogant or superior to that particular person. That is one beautiful thing that comes from the Shikshavali, but I have seen it very nicely, you know, applied by the Japanese culture. That way.
In fact, Swami, after naming this poor feeding as Narayan Seva, he has taken up this act of Seva into an entirely different level, right?
Yes.
By instructing the volunteers, the devotees, to see Narayana in the people to whom the food is given.
Exactly.
And it's also not so easy to get that realization.
Yes.
And to do with that realization, as Mr. Narasimhan Dr. Narasimhan used to do.
But Swami always showed us the way. So the one thing is that he would himself conduct a Narayan Seva every year. Around birthday time he would conduct one, it would be in the hot sun out there in the in the Hillview Stadium. But he would himself bend down and he would instruct the students also how it should be done, but he would show himself how it is to be done. And one more example that I saw myself, Raghu, that when we are talking about this feeling of oneness and this feeling of, you know, seeing that person as God himself, giving him that dignity. I remember in 2001, January 26th, Republic Day of India, there was an earthquake that shook Gujarat in the district called Bhuj. And many houses were leveled. You know, these were old houses. The people were actually, they were of modest means. Mm. It was not like they were very poor, but overnight they suddenly found themselves, you know, robbed of all their possessions and nothing against their name. Right, and this was a tragedy that occurred to those who survived that earthquake. Now, what happened is that time Swami was in Vrindavan, and I was a student of MBA at that time, studying here at Prashanti Nilayam. Right, and what we did, we thought that we should contribute to this relief effort that is happening in Gujarat. So what we did was we quickly galvanized everybody in the hostel. We collected whatever old clothes, what clothes we did not need or items that we did not need. All of these we bundled together and we arranged for this to be shipped to Gujarat, right, with the help of some people. And we were very proud of this effort. And a few days later, Swami came back from Whitefield to Prashanti Nilayam. And by that time, he had already set in motion efforts to get together a very huge consignment of relief for the state of Gujarat.
Okay.
So there was a convoy of about 75 vehicles. They carried 75,000 new dhotis. They carried 75,000 new saris. All of these, and with a lot of like material for housing, like a camping, tents, and so many condiments and all sorts of food items were all packed and sent in a huge convoy that was flagged off from Prashanti Nilayam with Vedam chanting, bhajans, all that was done very ceremoniously. It was sent off to Gujarat. Now, that same evening, the morning the items were sent, evening Swami comes for darshan and he sits among the students and faculty. And I was sitting right in front because I knew that I wanted to hear what Swami had to say about this whole event. And the warden, he came and to listen to what Swami was saying. And at some point of time, he got up and he told Swami, "Swami, even our boys, they have also sent some relief material." And my heart was beating with expectation because we had organized it. Swami may call us and speak to us and all that. The warden told Swami, like, they gathered all their old clothes and all that and they sent. At that moment, Swami's face, it was just beaming a little before that. It turned into a scowl. And suddenly even I stopped us watching what is happening. And Swami said, "You boys are so insensitive." I was wondering what he was saying. This is a relief effort and we acted as quickly as we could. And Swami said, "When I sent new clothes, new saris and new dhotis, how could you people be so insensitive as to send those people old clothes?"
Old clothes.
You see that feeling of oneness, no, Raghu? Yeah. If it had happened to somebody in our own family,
correct,
would we give them the indignity of giving away our discarded worn clothes, some of them rags?
No.
We would not do that.
No.
Raghu, when we say we should love the people, our understanding of love sometimes is so shallow. But when I look at Swami, this is the example that he has set in front of us. For us, they were faceless people. I don't know who they are. And therefore, I could not identify with their situation, with their tragedy. But this is God.
Yes.
This is a mother of all. When she sees them suffering, this is how she responds with all the love. Buying everything new so that their sense of dignity, they don't feel that is lost. Whereas how indignified it is to, you know, in that kind of situation to receive people's discarded clothes. That is something that we had never thought of. That is something we could never have appreciated. It really adds a completely new dimension to our thinking of what love is. what it means to be compassionate, what it means to be one with the people whom we serve. And I think this incident for me is very, very strong.
Yeah. Like, Swami always says, Vasudeva Kutumbakam.
Yes.
Entire world is one family, right? And this, what you said, this is a beautiful example of that.
In this kind of seva, Nuragu, like Swami has very, very often emphasized this aspect called unity. And setting aside all our hatred, all our selfishness. See, we are innately selfish. And even when we talk about doing selfless seva, this is something that we should remember. Selfless seva is like the point B that we have to reach. But point A, where we stand, you know, from where the journey starts towards that selflessness, is actually where we are innately selfish. By design, a human is selfish. And as we spoke about in the previous programs, the access to selflessness is not to just merely say, ha, I'm doing selfless work, you know, that is just a badge that you wear. It should always stand in the inquiry whether I am selfish in what I am doing, where am I coming from. And being innately selfish, what we can do is we can use that selfishness for a larger group, not just selfish for me. I'd rather be selfish for the larger group, the community whom I am serving, for example. I am selfish for them.
Okay.
Right? That is my, as I expand that circle larger and larger, I am expanding my my own consciousness, my own awareness of who I am, that expands till we reach that ideal called selflessness. That is our access. Otherwise, it just remains an empty concept for us. We should always remember and accept our innate design called selfishness. That is the point A from which our journey starts. You know, I've been very happy sometimes to see the kind of purity and the kind of love that is prevalent in the Satya Sai organization. From time to time, my interactions and what I have seen, I remember when I'd gone to Karwar, for example, the kind of dedication that they had towards it, and there was so much unity. And I could see clearly it was because the leader, the district president over there, he had always steered clear of any such political, you know, factionisms, all these things. He had steered clear of that. He always kept the greatest purpose of serving Swami as the ideal for which everybody should stand. And because of that, there was enormous unity, there was enormous sense of purpose and love in what they were doing. That has always inspired me that there are people like this. And to give you one more example, when I was studying in Chennai, as doing my engineering, that time I got this lovely opportunity of doing duty at Sundaram, when the bhajans would go on Thursdays and Sundays. That is Swami's center in Chennai. It's a very big center. And I remember that once I was given the duty of directing vehicles towards the parking area. So I would stand outside the compound of Sundaram, and I would stand there, and as the vehicles came, I would direct them towards the parking lot which they were allotted, right? And somewhere towards the end of, you know, almost aarti was going on, at that time one devotee came on a scooter. He came and he just parked his scooter over there, and he got off and he was doing namaskar. Now it is my duty to tell him, sir, actually you're not supposed to park the vehicle here, kindly park it in. So twice I mentioned, and the third time he very quietly, you know, he finished his namaskar very patiently. He took his scooter and went and parked it there. At that time, somebody who saw this scene from a distance, a sevadal, and I was just new. So that person came running to me. He said, "Do you know who that is?" I said, "I have no idea." He said, "That is a state president whom we just spoke to and told him, you gave him directions, you ordered him to go and park his vehicle." I said, "See, that was the duty that was assigned to me, and I think I did my duty." And I was just calmly watching and see, let's see what happens. And I was not really that scared of consequences and all that. And it was so lovely that this state president, he's the head of all the sevadals across Tamil Nadu. He came, he just stood next to me as the whole, you know, aarti, asatoma, satkamaya, the whole procedure was gone through. And at the end, he just patted my back and he walked away.
Nice.
See, that is a very, very high standard. That is a kind of training that Swami has given, that even the state president, he's the head of the sevadal, he does not feel any ego that he was ordered about by a very young, as hardly 18 or 19, by a youngster, go and park your vehicle. You know, he did not feel that it was beneath his dignity. He just felt that this person is doing his duty and I should honor that, I should respect that.
Yeah.
For me, that is a very, very inspiring thing as to how Swami has trained and how those people who are trained by Swami, how beautifully they have kept that purity of the organization as an ideal for everybody to follow. Next week we can take up a little more on many other things that Swami has spoken about and some things that we have not been able to cover in the previous segments about some aspects of seva as sadhana. There are some loose ends that need to be tied up. I hope
Swami
that...
Swami has spoken so much about giving up the doership when we...
Yeah, that is a very, very important aspect.
That we'll keep it for next
week. Sure. These are non-negotiable. They have to be covered. Yes.
So, dear listeners, please do join us in this discussion that we are having on service to society. So you can send in your thoughts, any questions or queries, comments, suggestions about this conversation. As always, please mail them to listener@radiosai.org. So placing this segment at Bhagwan's lotus feet, myself and Brother Harishankar sign off for today. Jai Sai Ram.
Sai Ram.
Sai Ram. You just heard an episode of our radio series Serving in the Name of Sai, in which we brought to you part 4 of a 5-part conversation with Mr. Harishankar, an alumnus of the Sri Satya Sai Institute of Higher Learning, who is currently working for the Sri Satya Sai Central Trust at Prashanthi Nilayam. In conversation with him was Radio Sai's Raghu, and this was first featured live as part of Thursday Live during February 2015. Dear listener, please do send us your feedback and comments. We look forward to your mails. As always, you can write to listener@radiosai.org. Thank you and Sai Ram.